Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I am the Small Business Advocate, the one and only. And we're having a great visit with our good friend, John Harrison. John's a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's the founder and the president of Aspire Financial Advisors, AspireFA.com. He's the author of Making Mammon Serve You, the Reverend John Harrison, CFP. John, thanks again for being here. We're talking about, you say you've got five things for us to take a look at in our personal financial stuff to get to begin the new year with this information. We talked about getting our FICO score, our credit report, in the previous segment. And that website, by the way, folks, that I mentioned is myfico.com, where you can go and just get your FICO score if you want that. John, what are some of the other things?
Well, now that you have your credit report in hand, step two should be calculate your net worth. It's amazing that most people don't know off the top of their heads what theirs is, but your net worth is simply everything you own minus everything you owe, and that resulting figure is your net worth. Mm-hmm. And so with the credit report, you have all your debts right in front of you. It's easy to total them up, and then you total the value of your assets, your savings accounts, your 401k accounts, all your financial things. Don't put your house in there. No, because for most net worth calculations, most businesses don't want you to include the value of your house. You can do it for your own well-being if you want. But
other real estate is okay, though, right? If it's not your
absolutely.
So if you got some rental property or maybe a second, what about a second home?
That would be okay, but generally they don't want to see your primary residence.
Because they expect. If the net worth is what would happen if you liquidated,
exactly,
and they don't think that you're going, they're going to want you to have a place to live,
exactly,
right.
And the key thing here is this is a judgment free.
But you also, I'm sorry, but you also don't put the mortgage of your house in this
on the primary residence.
You don't get dinged one way and not get the benefit the other way.
Exactly.
So, okay.
You just back that whole piece out.
Right. Okay.
And
go ahead.
The key thing here is it's a judgment-free zone. A lot of the time, the reason people don't know theirs is they don't want to know it. It might be a number of zero or something less than zero when they take everything they own and subtract everything they owe. And that's okay. Your goal is simply to know what it is, and you're going to set a plan that you want it to be a better number next year.
Right, right.
And if you'll do that, you're actually making progress that a lot of people never make.
I have to say, though, when the bank asks you for a financial statement,
yes,
a personal financial statement, it does include your residence.
It does. When you're
so you're not doing anything wrong by filling it all out and putting your residence in when you're doing it for the bank.
Right. I think primarily in terms of an investment advisor, and for instance, when you're being qualified as an accredited investor for a certain type of investment, they definitely don't want your house in there.
That's right.
They want to know
what
your financial assets are.
Mm-hmm.
But so get that net worth, and that gives you a perfect launching point for number three, which is to update your savings and debt reduction goals. And that's just to decide how much you want to save and how much debt you want to eliminate this year. And I'm not even going to ask you yet to make all the changes necessary to make that happen. I just want you to have the goal, because most people never have a concrete goal for here's where I want to be 12 months from now. So those are things that you can do in under a half an hour, is to calculate your net worth, update your savings and reduction goals, and you'll be off and running in terms of thinking of where you want to be.
I want to stick something in here on that one relative to the house situation.
Mm-hmm.
Go find a calculation. If you don't know how to do it yourself, go find a calculation somewhere that shows you what would happen to your debt, to your mortgage, I should say, if you made an extra payment a month. And how fast, like a 30-year mortgage, you could pay off probably in 9 years or something ridiculous like that. Or even if you just made a half a payment a month.
It would shock people the amount of money that they can save. So debt reduction plans don't have to be painful. To use a phrase one celebrity likes to use, it doesn't have to be beans and rice all the time.
Right.
But have a plan, and then The other piece I'd add to that section is bump up your automated retirement savings. If you have a 401k or your spouse has a 401k or something like that, slightly bump up the amount you put into it. You know what's amazing is if you're 50 years old and over, you can make catch-up provisions to those qualified retirement plans. Like, you know, you put $18,000 of salary deferral into a 401k, but if you're 50 and over, you can add another $6,000 to that. That $6,000 is called a catch-up provision. You can add an extra $1,000 to your IRA on top of the $5,500 that you can normally put in one. And Vanguard, the big mutual fund company, has determined that only 13% of the people who are eligible to make catch-up contributions do,
right.
And I know that more than 13% of the people who are eligible have less retirement funds than they need, but they're not making the contribution.
Right.
So here's a little something you can do. It only takes a one-time action, you know, going onto a website or calling your HR department or whatever and saying, you know, I'm going to change this contribution and up it a percent or two, and you'll probably not even feel it, but you'll be getting yourself closer to your goals.
So. That makes a lot of sense, and the steps to do that would be what?
It would, depending on the kind of plan you have, if you administer your own plan through your own business, just change your own contribution internally.
Yeah.
If you or a spouse has a plan through an employer, then, you know, just your HR department will tell you how to increase that contribution. Usually it's a matter of going on to the a website and clicking something or filling out a form at your employer and
right.
turning it in and just say, you know, move me from 6 to 8 or from 8 to 10 or whatever, and they'll do that to the next pay period. And you generally don't feel that after a paycheck or two.
Good information from our good friend John Harrison. Ladies and gentlemen, AspireFA.com is his website. We're going to take a quick break. He's going to have a couple of more important points for you after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.